More trade threats between the US and China, and do extra sugar taxes actually make people healthier?
I'm not sure there are any economic levers, realistically, that are going to fundamentally change people's behaviour.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China has responded to President Trump's threat of tariffs on another $100 billion worth of imports by saying they definitely strike back. Professor David Collins teaches international economic law at City University London.
The US is taking leadership in the world to address China misbehaving as a member of the global trading order and has been for a good number of years. It might be this kind of belligerence is necessary to deal with these issues, potential mistreatment of intellectual property, the massive state support for the manufacturing sector, the burdens on foreign companies entering into China in terms of the performance requirements that are being placed on them. And I'm not saying definitively that China is guilty, but these need to be addressed.
Putting the rhetoric aside for a moment, how is this actually going to be fought?
When they finally do go ahead with the tariffs, I suspect they'll be fairly watered down. And then China will respond with equivalent tariffs against U.S. products. And it will drag on until there's some kind of resolution, which might happen bilaterally. And if that doesn't work, there would be ultimately a hearing through the WTO panel.
Where do Washington's allies stand on this, the EU, Britain, etc.? I mean, they also have concerns about Chinese trade practices.
The EU and Japan have joined in the US's dispute against China that was launched through the World Trade Organization. It would seem as though the global community is actually very much on the side of the US. China has been a bully in trade. Nobody wants the trade war. But this is actually, ironically, a really good example of the US taking leadership in the global trading order.
David Collins, let's do the numbers. After the latest China-US tariff talk, we're in seesaw mode again as global stocks fall. The silver lining, most share indexes in Europe look to end the four-day trading week in positive territory. Now, Britain joins Mexico, France and Norway with a new sugar tax today on soft drinks.
We're tight enough as it is, to tell you the truth. We don't really need any more expense.
As long as it's going to be more healthier, I think that makes a difference.
If the taste was different, I'd stop buying them, like, you know what I mean?
Well, some manufacturers have already cut their sugar content, but Chris Snowden, head of lifestyle economics at the Institute of Economic Affairs, says such taxes just don't work.
The studies from America have generally shown that people either substitute to other drinks, fruit juices, milkshakes, even beer, or that really consumption just doesn't go down at all. That was the case in Berkeley, California, where people just went out of town to do their shopping. That was the case in Mexico, where, contrary to popular belief, sales of sugary drinks actually went up a bit.
Okay, that's interesting what you're saying about Mexico and Berkeley, because those stood out to me as two examples where you did see a little bit of a drop. Why are you saying that consumption didn't go down?
Well, if you look at those studies more carefully, the reality is, as was shown when the figures were finally published by the Mexico Institute of Public Health, there were 160 litres per capita sold before the tax came in, and then it went up to 162, and then the second year of the tax, it went down to 161. As a simple matter of fact, sales did not go down. They went up very slightly.
What about the argument that it gives governments revenue to offset the health costs by diabetes, by obesity?
Yeah, it's perfectly valid. You've got to tax something, so why not tax sugary drinks? Well, one reason is because they're disproportionately consumed by people on low incomes, and low incomes can least afford to pay a bit extra.
What does work? Is there a way that governments can encourage people to be healthier?
If there is one, I haven't seen it. I'm not sure there are any economic levers, realistically, certainly in rich countries, that are going to fundamentally change people's behaviour.
Chris Snowden. Opinion polls suggest Hungary's populist Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, is set for a third straight victory this weekend. Despite a booming economy, Mr. Orban has run a negative campaign. The BBC's Nick Thorpe reports from Budapest.
The Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, speaking here at a big National Day rally on March the 15th, presents a picture of a Hungary which he likes just as it is. but it's threatened from the outside by its enemies.
There are those who want us to hand our country over to foreigners who do not speak our language, people who want to replace what is ours with what is theirs.
One of the strangest features of this election is the negative campaign Mr. Orbán's Fidesz party has run, focused almost entirely on the perceived dangers of migration. Yet many people do feel better off. Peter Kreko is an analyst at the Political Capital think tank.
In Hungary, there is currently more than 4% economic growth. There is less than 4% unemployment. Most importantly, there is an annual wage rise of more than 10%. So people can feel on their own pockets that they are earning better.
Tomasz Mellár is an economist, standing as an independent challenger to the Fidesz candidate in Pécs in southern Hungary.
This is because of a large amount of European Union money which came to Hungary. Without this money, our growth rate would be zero or under the zero. If you see the rate of unemployment, which is really very low, this is because more than 600,000 Hungarian people are working outside of Hungary.
And it's this everyday experience of the emigration of Hungarians rather than the dangers of immigration which gives the opposition hope that the electorate want a change of government. A lot is at stake in Sunday's election. In Budapest, I'm the BBC's Nick Thorpe for Marketplace.
Finally, everything inside Terminal 1 at London's Heathrow Airport is for sale ahead of a revamp. Great choice of baggage carousels, security scanners and toilet signs going. Just saying. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.